Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hammer and Sparks pod. This one is a little bit weird, because I really love doing interviews, but editing is not my favorite part. So sometimes it gets a little bit out of order, and this is one of those cases. I interviewed today's guest back in December, and now I'm finally getting the episode out. So sorry for the delay, especially to Quasi, who was kind enough to sit for this interview. What did we talk about? We talked about how to make a decision on your career at the age of 6. We talked about being thrown into the fire in your first ever match with a team. And why not play one of the Mexican superpowers to start? It's all easy from here, right? We talked about the culture of style and why Sweden gets it. Faith, family, connections in the community with fans and fellow players, how to make a move up that ladder, and keeping focus in games and in life. These are just a few of the things we talked about. Hammer of Sparks with Quasi Poku. All right, welcome to the Hammer of Sparks pod, and today we have a young star, a rising star on the Forge team with us. That's Quasi Poku. Quasi, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks a lot for being on the show. So pretty excited to talk to you. I mean, it's been a whirlwind season. We just finished the championship. I guess let's start with that. How does it feel to be a two-time champion in the CPL?
Yeah, obviously this season we had a lot of ups and downs, whereas I feel like last season was a little bit more of a straight line. So it feels all that much more better to finish the season as a champion when you had to fight through it. So it's a great feeling.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because you're right. Like, I know as Forge fans, we've gotten a little bit spoiled. And I know talking to other fans and on the message boards and stuff like that, folks were like almost in panic mode with Forge not being at the top all the way through. Tell me a little bit about what it felt like from the player's point of view.
Yeah, I feel like every season we kind of sometimes have some sort of dip in form to maybe keep things interesting.
Right.
maybe worry people a little bit. But when the playoff time comes around, I think we all regain focus and we all know it's go time, and we always get the job done.
Right on. All right, so let's back up a little bit and talk. Let's actually start from the beginning. I guess my question for you right off the top is, why soccer? You're from Brampton, like big city near Toronto, stuff like that. Lots of sports available to you and stuff. Why was soccer the game for you?
Well, I started off playing basketball. I really enjoyed basketball. I was around 6 years old. And then my dad was always a soccer fan. He's from Ghana, so it's a big soccer country.
Right.
And he was going to put me in basketball, but he agreed with me that I would, like, try soccer first. So I tried soccer first, and I was pretty good, and I was left-footed. So he just made me stay, and I eventually started to love it more than basketball, and that's kind of just how I got started.
That's kind of how it took off. So 6 years old, you're already making decisions on your career path.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. On. That shows exactly how deep and meaningful it is for you, right? So, and because I was going to ask about that, you know, being from near Toronto, you know, the Raptors were in their glory days and stuff like that. So basketball was really a big part of your background.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Right on. All right. Tell me a little bit too about coming up with the different teams that you came up with. I know you played for Woodbridge Strikers and I think maybe Unionville Milliken, maybe. So tell me a little bit about what it was like coming up with those youth programs.
Yeah, so my first youth program was actually Brampton East.
Okay.
And like, me and my dad felt like it was a better decision to play for Woodbridge because we felt there was a better culture there and was a lot more serious when it came to training. So we were kind of valuing my improvement rather than just playing for a local team. And then from Woodbridge, I went to Unionville, and from Unionville to TFC. So it was a steady uprise. And yeah, that's just how it went.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Like, already thinking about, I mean, everybody knows Brampton is the hotbed in Canada for soccer talent. So to make those decisions at an early age that, you know what, for my improvement, I got to go here, or I got to go here. That's a pretty solid, like, way to think about things from an early age.
Yeah.
So, okay, talk to me now a little bit. We've moved on. We're at TFC. So you played with TFC 3 first, and then you went up to TFC 2. Is that right?
No, so I joined when I was 16, so I started off with the U16, U17 program, and then moved on to TFC 3 from there next year, integrated TFC 2, and then from 18 I was just full with TFC 2.
Right on. And you had some successes there too. So played some pretty big games with them. What was it like being in that program?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was kind of my first experience of being a professional and being in that environment, and I feel like it helped improve me a lot tactically, mentally, in most areas of my game.
Right. And I mean, I guess that leads me to my next question, because coming over to Forge, like already seeing your pathway, we all know that a lot of the players on Forge came up through the Sigma pathway. That was their route to get to Forge. You were already with a pretty big professional program at TFC, well, the biggest professional program with TFC. What did it feel like switching over to Forge FC as a professional? Did it feel like a lateral move? Was it like, okay, I'm going to take this step back because I'm at big TFC, I'm going to go to this CPL team? Or did it just feel like, as a progress thing, it was maybe a big step for you?
I feel like I didn't look at it as a step up or down. I just, maybe as you're saying, a lateral step. I just wanted to focus on me and my improvement, right? I wanted to get as much game time as possible and just figure out what was best for my future. And I found that was Forge. They threw me straight into the lineup. They threw me straight into deep waters, and I ended up learning a lot about myself. So that's what's most important.
Deep waters is an understatement. Your first game was against Cruz Azul, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah, the
Like,
deepest waters.
you can't get any bigger than that from a CPL standpoint, right? What was it like? Do you remember the feeling of stepping onto the pitch against Cruz Azul?
Yes, I do. It wasn't very nerve-wracking when I was stepping on the pitch. What was nerve-wracking is when I came in and I wasn't really expecting to get on at any important time, maybe like the last, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But I go into the change room and I see I'm on the starting lineup, and I'm like, okay, wow. Like, nerves start to settle in a little bit because I didn't know that I was going to be on the starting lineup. And then once I kind of relaxed and started talking to my teammates and coaches, yeah, it was fine from there. And the game was fine, and stepping onto the pitch was fine.
Wow, I can't believe, like, you didn't know you're gonna be in the game until the day. Wow, that's
Hopefully.
now I do you think that helps, like, keep you calm, because you're just thinking, I'm going to get a few minutes here or there somewhere, and then when you get there and see it's too late to be nervous kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of players like to know, but a lot of other players like the surprise too. So it's
It
whatever you like.
didn't seem to hurt, right?
Yeah.
All right, I have a question for you too, because I know you briefly went on trial or some training over in Sweden, I think with Häcken, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit, how long were you over there, and what was that vibe like for you?
Yeah, so I was there for about a week and a half. It went really well. It's kind of my first taste of European football, and I enjoyed every moment of it. I soaked up, a lot of knowledge, tactically, physically, and what it takes to be there. And it's overall a beneficial experience.
Yeah, I talked to Alex Etienne-Adjanton on one of these pods, and he was mentioning, like, for players coming up over there, it's like a lot different. Like, you're going to school for it. It's like your everyday life, just being in soccer early. Like, you're taking diet journals and you're learning all these different kind of things. And he said he noticed the biggest difference for players here. They're really, like, athletic and want to play the game, have a lot of desire, but they maybe don't have that background knowledge and the tactical new. Did you notice that when you were over there?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the soccer culture in Europe is a lot better, and that's because it's their sport. We have a lot of things here in Canada. We have a lot of avenues in Canada, and people don't necessarily prioritize sport. Like, people are focused on going to college or what job they're gonna get. Whereas in Sweden, they want to be a player when they turn 5. Like, they're focused on their professional career as soon as they get into an academy when they're like 5, 6 years old. It's serious right away. And that's why it's so competitive over there.
That's a really good point. And I think that's something we never talk about here. We think about athletes as, like, you could have played basketball, or you could have played football, or you could play soccer, and that's kind of the mindset. But actually,
Yeah.
there's a lot of avenues. People aren't maybe even thinking seriously of sports ever being a career, as it is like in maybe other countries, right?
Yeah. I think it's a lot more serious in other countries for sure.
Yeah. All right. Did Alex give you any pointers or anything to look out for culture-wise? Maybe not football-wise, but culture-wise when you're over there?
No, I didn't actually tell him I was going when I went, but after we talked about it a lot, and I told him the stuff I enjoyed and the stuff I didn't, but overall really did enjoy Sweden as a country for sure. Got to
How
walk
long
around.
were you over there for?
About a week and a half.
About a week and a half. And so you got to see a little bit of the culture. I know obviously you're focused on what's going on in the pitch. What do you remember most from being over in Sweden that was not on the pitch?
So I was in Gothenburg, and what I noticed like right away is that everybody dresses so fancy, like, and that's like their casual look. Like they'll be in like a suit and tie or just like a blazer, and they're always dressed so like classy, but to them that's like casual wear, and I just felt like everybody was so important when I was walking around.
That's a big culture shift, eh? But to see like that kind of fancy style, that it's a different mindset, right? Very
It fit in with the way Alex dresses, so I could tell he's Swedish now. I see where he
now you've got that in your mind, you know that that's a Swedish look. Very cool, very cool. All right, I want to know a little bit too about you were talking a little bit about ups and downs, and on this show we can always talk X's and O's and stuff like that. We hear a lot about that from the different reports from CPL News and stuff like that. We want to kind of focus on off the field stuff as well and what it means, what you are like as a person. So you talked a little bit about the ups and downs this year, and I'm sure throughout your career you've gone through ups and downs as well. What is it that helps you deal with the ups and downs, and how do you best handle it? Is it family? Is it faith? Is it something else? What exactly helps you get through those tough times?
I would say it's 100% faith and obviously family. I have a very strong Christian background. My dad is a pastor, and I look to God for most things, and I look for God for, a lot of the answers in my life, and it's kind of like my stronghold when I'm feeling down and when I'm feeling up, so yeah.
I love that you mentioned that. It's not just something you lean to when you're feeling down, but it's also there when you're feeling up too. Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what do you mean by you connect with it when you're feeling up? How does that look?
Well, exactly. Like you can't just come to God when you're, feeling bad and when you want things, because that's not a genuine relationship, right?
Right. No, that
When you're
makes
feeling
sense.
up, yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, I cut you off there. Go ahead.
Problem when you're feeling up is when you should also, praise Him and give Him some worship too.
Very nice. Yeah, no, that means that I was reading some interviews with some other players who use strength and their faith as part of the strength that keeps them going. And that's a really good point that I hadn't really heard from other people talking about, is that you have to remember that when you're on your ups as well, right? Nice
Exactly.
one. I want to know a little bit too about I guess some off the field stuff that might be a little bit unique. Have you had that moment yet where that recognized that relative fame moment yet, like where people are starting to recognize you as a professional soccer player? Has that happened?
I think in and around the field, people will obviously recognize you, but I don't think I'm at to that point where they'd be like, "Oh, that's Kwesi Poku," but maybe hopefully one day.
Hopefully one day, but it's not yet arrived there, right? It's funny, I have a little funny story. I was at Supercrawl this past year, and I was buying some things, and I had my Forge gear on as I normally do. I think I had my scarf on, and my daughter was picking out some stuff, and the guy who is running the booth said, "Hey, are you a Forge fan?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Do you know Kwesi Poku?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And we had a little conversation about you and about your play and stuff. And it turned out the guy who ran it, he said he was a guy who maybe got to high school with you or something like that. And he gave me some insights into you. He said, "Make sure you ask about his faith, because he's really one with God, and I think that's a big part of his game." So I thought I just mentioned that. I had a little side connection to you and your
Where
in
was this?
his name is Ethan. And he said he only had a few classes with you in high school, and he does a streetwear company called What's Real Will Prosper.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was super funny. We're just like having this full-on conversation about a specific player on the Forge team, and he just had nothing but good things to say about you. He said he didn't really know you very well, very deeply, but he'd had some classes with you and stuff like that. And he said, he gave me some insights into what you were like as a youth.
Yeah, we did throughout high school, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, I just think it's neat. Like, and that kind of brings me to the point that CPL is like really like a close-knit community and a small community, but it's really engaged. And I was thinking about when I first talked to Novak on this show, he was mentioning about how so many players knew each other, because I mean, elite soccer in Canada still is a pretty small thing compared to other countries. So like all these players have known each other from like All-Star games or from playing against each other in League One Ontario or other leagues. Did you have a connection with a lot of players on Forge before you came here?
Not necessarily on Forge, I would say, but like on other teams, yeah, definitely familiar with a lot of players throughout the league, as you know, I've played against them in academy days for MLS and in youth days. So yeah.
Yeah, that MLS connection too must be strong with players from around the league and throughout the CPL. Is there anybody that you'd say you're closest to, like pre coming into the CPL?
Yeah, I'm very close friends with Jean Enyalasi of
Really?
yeah, he's a
Wait,
good friend
which
of mine.
part? He played with Ottawa, right?
Yes, and we played on Canada together, also with a former CPL player, Lawal Wright. He's no longer in the league, but we actually kind of like grew up together. We're both from Brampton and live very close together. We started playing soccer with each other very early. So it's really good to see that both of us continued and are on a good path.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was fortunate enough to get to get an autograph signed by Lowell when he was still at York, and he was a lovely guy. So it's interesting to see you guys pass going up through the MLS reins and back and forth through CPL and stuff like that. All those kind of connections. So moving on, what are your kind of goals next up for? Like I know some players are very public about their goals. They're like, "This is the goals. This is what I want to do." Other people hold them a little tighter to the vest. Is there like, do you have like a 5-year plan, a 2-year plan? What kind of things do you do to keep yourself motivated?
Well, I feel like whether people's goals are public or not, I think everyone has the same goal and everybody has the same, you know, ambitions, and it's to play at a higher level. And I would agree with that, and I would say those are mine as well, right? You always want to play at a higher level as fast as possible, but patience is always important, you know? So,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's something that people have never really talked to me about, or I haven't had that conversation with them about yet. How is it having that patience? Because obviously Forge has a lot of success. A lot of people have played here, won some titles and stuff like that, but we haven't seen like an exodus of players to the higher levels from Forge yet. How does that impact you? Do you think, are you able to stick around a little bit? Are you raring to go to the next event, the next level? Like, obviously everyone wants to be up there, but how do you maintain that patience, I guess?
Yeah, with all the success, I mean, Forge has had, you would think that the whole team would be gone by now,
Right.
right? But Bobby is a guy where he's really, you know, invested in keeping his core and keeping the core of the players, and it's just a team of a family that he wants to keep, and I feel like that's why we win, and that's why you have so much chemistry. But yeah, patience on our side for sure, and we're just focused on, you know, doing what's best for the team while we're here.
Right. I mean, selfishly as a fan, you kind of love that the core stays together so much. Like, we don't have a lot of turnover. Players stick around and we get to know them and you know, build that relationship with them. But I'm sure there's a ton of us we're all hoping for somebody to make that big move. When or where do you hope your next move is going and what kind of do you have in the forefront of your mind? Because starting from 6 years old, you and your dad are already charting your career and stuff like that. So clearly you got some plans in mind. What do you have next in mind for yourself?
Me personally, I don't have anything in specific in mind, but hopefully, foreseeably in the near future.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say about that.
Gotcha. Just keep playing and keep looking at those opportunities, right? So what kind of things, I guess switching, like I said, we want to get to know you as the person behind the player. So what kind of things do you do off the pitch? Like CPL unfortunately has one of the longest off seasons there is in the world of soccer. So what are you doing in the off season and what kind of things do you do during the season to keep yourself engaged away from the pitch?
Well, when it comes to like field stuff, I definitely still train, do a lot of pitch work that I like. You know, the thing about being in the off season is you get to do the things exactly you like, and the training sessions get to be with, you know, some of your best friends, and you get to, you know, go wherever you want, do whatever you want in training, and it's a lot more fun.
Right.
It's a bit less structured. It kind of reminds you of when you were like a kid. But off season, you know, I like to chill with my family. I mean, I'm back home in the off season. I don't live, you know, at home during the season.
Okay, so you're away from the family when the season's on, so it's nice to kind of be back with the fam for the off
Yeah,
season.
for sure. It's nice to kind of be back and just spend time with family. That's what I do mostly.
Very nice. And I mean, I love that, you know, it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more reminder of what it was to get started in the game when you're in the off season and you're training and doing the things that you like to do and hanging out with your friends and stuff like that. But that begs the question, what are the things you don't like to do in training?
Things I don't like to do.
I'm not trying to get in trouble with Bobby or
Oh no,
anything.
he probably knows I don't like them. He could tell by my focus and training that I don't. Definitely like build up work where there's like 11 mannequins of like other team, and we're like just playing against mannequins for like quite a while. I kind of lose focus. I kind of zone out sometimes, but yeah.
I love to hear that kind of stuff. I remember G telling us, like, in the game, sometimes it's hard to keep focus even throughout the game as a goalkeeper because, you're sitting back there, and especially with Forge's possession style, you can kind of get out of the thing. So I can understand that it must be hard to kind of keep yourselves in practice, let alone game time, but just in practice with mannequins, I could imagine that would be pretty mind-numbing stuff.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine being a goalkeeper like G, because I would 100% lose focus during the game. So,
I think 100% that's why G loves being the ball player coming out of the net, being that sweeper keeper, because it keeps him engaged, right?
yeah, for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about memorable moments. I'm not just talking about Forge, but in your soccer career, what are the kind of things that stand out? Because you've played for, if I'm not mistaken, you've played for like Ontario wide teams, you've played for the U20s for Canada, you've played obviously Forge at some pretty high levels, championship games, stuff like that. So tell me, what are the kind of things that stand out in your mind from a soccer point of view?
I'd say definitely winning the Dallas Cup in 2016 with my TFC 2003 Academy team. That was a really fun time. We got to play in like our first big stadium for the first time. It was FC Dallas's stadium.
Right.
That was a really fun moment. Obviously the Canadian youth national team camps for the U20s were a really good moment. Representing your country in CONCACAF is really fun, although it didn't go exactly how we wanted to. It was an honor, and it was a good time on the field with a lot of guys that I grew up playing with.
Again, that small community of that tight-knit community of Canadian soccer players, right? It's kind of, as we've seen on the senior team, a brotherhood. So I'm sure it's like that as on the lower levels too, if you guys have seen each other so much in other places, played against each other and joined up with each other. That's pretty cool to see some stuff outside. What are some things that you have planned goals-wise off the pitch for yourself? I know, because I'm wondering if, especially at this age, your focus has to be so much on soccer if you want to get to that next level, always focusing on that stuff. Is there things that you do? Are you like 100% focused on the soccer, or are there things that you're thinking about outside of that? I know that I've seen players from Forge before who have like side businesses from when they went away to university, they started something up and have followed that path as well. Or is that something that you need to be really single-minded in your pathway?
Yeah, I'd say right now, I'm pretty tunnel vision on my career. I don't really have, something that I'm working on, but I feel like if I was working on something, I'd keep it on the down low forever.
Which obviously makes sense at this point in your career, right? All right, I'll keep that one in mind for my our 5 year anniversary questions when I get you back on the show. All right, if you could say anything to the fans of Forge right now, what kind of message would you like to give them, either about the season that just ended or for the upcoming season that seems forever away, but actually won't be too far with the CONCACAF games coming? So, what kind of messages do you have for the fans?
Well, first of all, thank you guys all for sticking with us through last season, even though it wasn't, our easiest, some would even call it the worst season, even though we finished second. I don't know why, but some people are calling it Forge's worst season. But thank you for being loyal and sticking through us, being that 12th man for us, and just once again, thank you guys.
We really, I mean, as a fan, it's funny you say that, like at Forge's worst season. It just goes to show as fans how spoiled we are that like finishing second,
Worse.
almost a literal tie for second with Halifax is like thought of as like a really down year. And then of course you guys pull it off in the playoffs as you always do and make some really great moments for us all. But yeah, it's hard to, I'm sure we get a lot of hate from other fan groups when we're talking about having a down season and finishing second, right? What are your thoughts about, I know the draw for the CONCACAF Cup is coming up next week. What are your feelings? How are you feeling about getting to play again in another major continental kind of tournament? What are your thoughts and how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it was what I was introduced to first as a Forge player, so it's gonna be cool to be in that competition again, and I'm really excited to see who we get drawn. Hopefully, if it's possible, Inter Miami, so we can play Messi.
Right? How amazing would that be?
I don't know if he would come to Tim Hortons Field, but maybe we'd play on our away game. He'd play.
Definitely, there'd be a lot of folks looking for some away travel plans to get to go see that game for sure. And what does that mean to you to be? Because I know we had a year off of it with things changing up and stuff like that, not having any intercontinental play for Forge for a while. What does it feel like to be able to? I know it's kind of coming home for you, but does the team have a buzz around it, like knowing that they're going back to playing in yet another tournament?
Yeah, I think we're excited. I think the culture around the team is that we all love big games. I think Forge is a team of big games, and many people on the team that are much older than me have been there before and have even been on finals and farther in that tournament. So, we've been there before. We love big games, and we're just excited and ready.
Yeah, I think it goes to show like there's so many things to play for. I think that's one of the things that fans, newer fans to soccer in Canada, and especially at the CFL, CPL level, are getting to know is that we have so many fronts to play on with the Canadian Championship, the league itself, and then the playoffs, and now CONCACAF tournaments as well. There's so much to look forward to. It's not just like a boring regular season, maybe if your team is kind of out of it early. You've got a lot of other things to be playing on. How does that feel to be able to bounce between different tournaments?
Yeah, obviously it's a privilege to be able to play more games. It's not always the easiest thing to have, more games than everybody else. But like I said, once again, it's a privilege, and it just goes to show, all the success we've had is worth it. And I think the goal for all of us is to get to play more football because that's what we love to do.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with us today. Looking forward to watching you in the new season. I hope you enjoy the off season, and we'll see you again next year.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Thank you very much to Kwesi for that interview. I really had a good time chatting with him. And it showed that I was a little bit rusty. That was my first interview in a while, but thank goodness he saved the episode with his thoughtful commentary and with really opening up on the world of what it means to be a young soccer player in Canada. Continuing on with that, I look forward to having other interviews with other young soccer players in Canada about their past successes and otherwise. So keep tuning in to the Hamro Sparks Pod. You've got a lot of good ones coming up. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye, Earthlings.